In April 2019, Ryan Smith spoke at the BYU Marriott School's convocation and said, "Being all in is the lost art of really committing to something. Real commitment is hard. Technology and social media have raised our awareness, and we live in a constant state of FOMO, fear of missing out. We live in the ultimate on-demand world where there's always a backup plan, where there's always an off-ramp, and where commitment feels binding to a lot of people. I am here to testify that the only way to feel successful in life is to make decisions wisely and then act on those decisions with 100% commitment." He went on to talk specifically about being all in on your career, all in on your family, and all in on your faith. Today, we dig deeper into that message with Ryan and Ashley Smith. In 2002, Ryan Smith co-founded Qualtrics, an experience management software company. He was named to Fortune's 40 Under 40 list in 2016, and in 2018, Qualtrics was purchased in the largest private enterprise software acquisition of all time. Smith continues his position as CEO of the company, and in 2016, he co-founded Five for the Fight, a nonprofit that encourages everyone to give just $5 in the fight against cancer. Ashley Smith found her passion for dance as a child and is now the owner of Smash Dance Academy, a dance studio she originally founded in she and Ryan's basement that has grown to have more than 600 students. She and Ryan are the parents of five children. This is All In, an LDS Living podcast where we ask the question, what does it really mean to be all in the gospel of Jesus Christ? I am Morgan Jones, and I am so excited to have Ryan and Ashley Smith on the line with me today. Ryan and Ashley, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
So I originally heard this talk that Ryan gave at BYU Marriott School's commencement a few months ago as I was preparing to give a talk about being all in. And as I listened to it, I was like, first, this is money. But second, how can I get this guy on the podcast? And so I'm so excited to have Ryan, but I'm also thrilled to have Ashley to provide additional insight into today's episode. Ryan, you started your talk with a quote by President Eyring, where he said that his mom used to tell him, if you're on the right path, it will always be uphill. So I'd like to kind of use that as a jumping off point. And I wondered if you could share with us why that quote resonated with you so much and what it means to you.
Yeah. So the quote is, yeah, if you're on the right path, it will always be uphill. You know, I think everything that I've experienced or accomplished in my life has kind of always been probably the harder path. A lot of decisions that we have, there's two paths or there's a fork in the road, and that's why it becomes a decision. For me, I'm naturally probably an individual who's always looking for the easy way out or the easy button, and you know, or some sort of a life hack. But if I've looked at my life, every single worthwhile thing has typically been an uphill battle or not the natural reaction. You know, my Peloton instructor, who I follow every morning, says, you know, if it's earned, no one can take it away from you. And I feel like the uphill stuff is stuff that you actually have to earn. And that's the good stuff. And I think for the first 18 years of my life, I'll be honest, 18, 19 years, I didn't do uphills, right? That just wasn't in my playbook. And if it went uphill or if it got too hard, I went the other way. And that's kind of been an area of my life where I try to wake up every day and tackle the hardest problem. And, you know, life's going to give you so many uphill battles that you kind of need to get good with them. And I think sometimes we're in a phase where if it gets tough, people just check out. And you know, as I look back, especially recently, you know, there's been good news on the other side of that hill a lot. And, you know, I'm really glad I haven't given up on some of those hard times, because the best things I have in my life have come out of that.
Ryan, I love that. I think that it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, before the age of 18, because I think that that's probably fairly normal that many of us don't experience a lot of hard things in our childhood or adolescence, at least hopefully. But then as we become adults, we often, it can be a little bit of a shock that we're confronted with some really difficult things. And so I want to kind of talk about some experiences that were formative to you and your life. But before we get into that, because I've already heard you talk about what that taught you about being all in, I am curious, Ashley, what experiences you've had that have prompted you to recognize the value of being all in?
Yeah, well, kind of interestingly, I actually had some uphill battles pretty early in life.
Interesting.
So yeah, I was kind of young when I learned life is messy. As a child, growing up, we had a divided home and we moved to Las Vegas kind of abruptly. And I just have a very vivid memory of this feeling that I didn't have a safe place, maybe. And we were all struggling together, right? We all went through it together. But there was just this kind of icky feeling that I had for a while because of the uphill battle that I wasn't equipped with how to fight, maybe. And I really remember not wanting that feeling anymore. And I think just there were some moments in the gospel in Las Vegas where I felt hope. And I think the hope really resonated, and it kind of led to this strong desire to find more and to maybe get some clarity or answers or kind of anything. I mean, I was really just reaching to hang on to anything, I would say. But then I found this light. And it became this happiness and this joy for me. And it really removed that icky, unsafe feeling. And so at a very young age, I became intentional about the gospel, because for me, it kind of got rid of this icky thing that didn't feel great. And so, yeah, I was really young that I learned and got maybe even like, addicted is the wrong word, but I just desired and craved that happy joy feeling that I would feel at, you know, different church things or gospel oriented events in my life.
That's really cool. I think I've seen that. I've witnessed that in some people that I know, people that have gone through really hard things. And it does seem like many times that causes them to cling to the gospel in a way and appreciate the gospel in a way that I think few people do. And so I have always really admired that. Ryan, let's talk about with you. So Ashley said, you know, that she from a young age really craved the gospel. On the other hand, when you went to Korea as a newly graduated high school student, you were not really active in the church. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you ended up coming back to the church?
Yeah, I think you know, Ashley and I both have very similar, almost eerily similar upbringings, where it was pretty messy. We both come from divided homes. We both have family members and loved ones who were in and out. You know, it was pretty tough times. And so my coping mechanisms early on were just like, screw everything. I'm not going to do anything of any consequence or anything important. You know, pretty much almost dropped out of high school. Actually did drop out of high school for 2 years and just wasn't really playing the game and wasn't all in on anything. And that was kind of my attitude. And, you know, I decided in an early time, I wanted to get out of Utah, and I met some people that said, hey, you should go teach English in Korea. So I grabbed a couple of my buddies. We went over to Korea and everything fell apart over there. I didn't have home. My friends went home and I was really kind of stuck over there by myself. And I ended up, you know, hanging out for a couple months with a crowd of people, and it was really kind of like, hey, this is how life's going to be. You're grown up. And then one day I met the missionaries in the subway and they came up to me, they gave me their pitch. And I said, no, I know who you guys are, but I really hadn't had, God wasn't really a priority in my life. And, an interesting thing happened where I saw these people and I said, wow, there's a big difference between these missionaries and the people that I'm hanging out with. And then, I ended up meeting a lot of return missionaries were over there. And, when I was with them, the loneliness and the, no matter what was going on, I just felt different. And I basically decided at that point, wait, here's this amazing contrast that I've got. I've got Ryan Smith in this world during the day, and then I would go hang out with this group, maybe one day a week. And the feeling of who I was with was just the most vivid, like, contrast of feelings that I probably ever had in my life. And I said, you know what? I want to be like these people. I want to be like these return missionaries. And I had to make a decision, and it wasn't a convenient one, that if I wanted to be like these people, I had to change a bunch of things. And I've got to actually follow through with something and go all in and have different priorities. And I needed to do it for real. And the second I did that, my entire life changed. I decided I want to go on a mission. I became extremely successful over there teaching English. Everything started to fall into place where a year before, 6 months before, no matter what I did, nothing would work. And so that event, that happened in my life where I could see, hey, I've got years of contrast of this experience. And then I've got this new feeling that's new, and I mean, it's palatable to taste the difference between those two lifestyles and those two Ryan Smiths. And I just said, from that moment on, this is so much better for me, and this is what I want, and I like this version of myself way better. And, I'm always reminded of that. And I think that's where Ash and I both have had, that contrast of both sides. And, we just like this side better. And this is why we choose to do what we do. And it's a choice. And it really brings us both happiness.
Yeah. I think it's so fascinating. One thing that I have always liked observing, I think because it builds my faith, is observing the contrast when we have the gospel and when we don't. And I think that what you just described is such a beautiful way of looking at, just fairly simple as a teenage boy looking at it and being like, okay, my life could go one of two ways, and I'm going to choose this path that puts God first. It reminded me of one of my favorite quotes that's by Ezra Taft Benson, where he says, when we put God first, all other things fall into their proper place or drop out of our lives. And so then you started to see this success start to come into your life. And I think that that is super cool. Ryan, in the talk at BYU, you said that your family likes to say you found God in Korea, but that you say you like to think that you found out what happens when you are all in and that you learned what it takes to be all in. So I am wondering for both of you can speak to this, what you've learned both then, Ryan in Korea, but then also in the years since, what both of you have found about what it takes to be all in.
Yeah, I think for me, it wasn't single-threaded. I mean, there was a lot of experiences that happened in Korea and then happened on my mission and then happened when I came back. I'll just tell you, I went from pretty much not being in school at all prior to Korea to coming back and going to BYU, getting accepted and going to the business school and graduating, with a very high GPA and starting Qualtrics and starting a business. And things just started to build on each other. And it's not that bad stuff wasn't happening and I didn't have obstacles along the way because during that time my father had cancer. It feels like there was another level of confidence. And I learned when I went all in, I knew that I could trust on something that was stable and something that was always there for me, no matter where I was in the world, no matter where I was at, no matter what I was going through, that he wasn't going to leave me. And I'd never had that, especially growing up. And I think I really learned where true confidence comes from and where true happiness and joy comes from. And that's something that's carried with me, you know, ever since. And even now when I find myself either on a high or a low or motivated or not motivated, you know, because let's be honest, like some days you're just not feeling it, right? You know, I know what to do to get back and what happens when I do ask myself, hey, are you in a spot where you're getting true confidence and joy from where you know it comes from? And that's a constant reminder. And it's not something that is just in that one experience of my life or on a mission. It's something that I have to continue to work at to get that feeling. And there's times, I'll be honest, there's times right now in today's environment where, you know, getting the signal from the noise is pretty difficult because there's a lot of noise out there. But it also shows that it's probably the most important time to be able to say, hey, you know, how much signal am I getting these days? You know, am I actually feeling something? I don't know what you think, Ash.
Well, I think something that you kind of felt in Korea, and I was lucky enough to feel as a child, is just hope for a certain outcome. I think you found this hope that God was going to help in the end, no matter what. And I ended up with that hope really young. And then it kept coming back and getting me through messy after messy after messy, right? All the way until adulthood, because life is messy. And I think that when you have hope, when you have something to hope for, and then you have hope of this outcome, whatever that is, whether it's church gospel related or work related or family related, relationship related, whatever, then you have a desire to go get it. And so being all in, you've got to have the hope and the desire to go get it and then make intentional moves to get there. And when you kind of have that formula, that's being all in, because you're not just kind of wanting it to happen, right? And not putting any action behind it, but you want it, you know what it is, and then you go get it. And I think we've both, in our very different but oddly similar ways, have kind of found that formula that works for us.
Yeah. I love that both of you touched on this idea that confidence and trust is a byproduct of choosing to be all in. And I think that that's true of anything, not just our relationship with God. And so I want to talk a little bit about a few different ways that we can be all in different aspects of our lives. But really quickly, before we get to that, I loved, Ryan, how you said, you know, that it doesn't mean that life was perfect. And then Ashley, you said life is messy. And I just read this quote this morning by Brené Brown that says, I thought faith would say, I'll take away the pain and discomfort. But what it ended up saying was, I'll sit with you in it. And I think that's kind of part of this idea of placing that trust and in God and choosing to be all in and knowing that in return, we will be blessed with a confidence and a trust in Him. So let's talk a little bit about a few different aspects of being all in. So Ryan, you said in this talk at BYU that every success in your life has been the result of choosing to be all in. You said specifically all in on your career, all in on your family, and all in on your faith. So what does it mean to you, Ryan, to be all in your career? And then I'm curious, Ashley, as someone who obviously is a huge support to someone whose job is very demanding, what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So look, it's being all in's hard. It's a practice. It's a muscle. I loved how Ashley said it's a formula. And I agree with Brené Brown. I love Brené. You know, we've had a chance to talk, and Ashley and I a bunch about like, hey, and it's kind of a little bit of who we are. When we do something, we only know one gear. And, you know, Ash is an entrepreneur as well. She runs a pretty large dance studio with 600 kids and 20 faculty members. And so we go at it pretty hard, and especially as a couple. But look, I'm also we get to hire a lot of young people. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of young people that I see today have never been all in on anything in their lives. It's the lost art of actually going all in on something. They were like me when I was 18 years old. I had never really knew what ultimate commitment looked like. And, you know, I'll never forget a story that happened to us. I mean, we'd been married about 4 or 5 years. You know, Ashley bet on this kid who was starting a company in a basement, didn't have a car or a job. And we were about 4 or 5 years in, and someone offered to buy Qualtrics and buy our business from us. And I had a couple partners, but everyone really looked at me and said, okay, Ryan, you've got to make this decision. And my mind was racing. Like, I we were so heads down on the business that we never really thought about that someone would care enough to want to buy it from us. And it was a substantial amount of money at the time. And I remember getting in the car and saying, Ashley, let's just drive. Let's go down to St. George. We're out. Like, and we're going to go talk, and we're going to ponder, and we're going to think about what to do. And we didn't get, I think, to Nephi or 30 miles down the road before Ashley basically said, look, Ryan, you're not done. We're not going to have you sit at home anymore. Like, let's just go forward and let's just go all in. Is it all going to go backwards or not? Like, just go all in. You have nothing to lose by just going all in. And so we decided to turn down this offer. And in the media, it came out that we had turned down this offer. So the people who offered it were really upset because it looked like I went to the media and said, hey, I'm turning this offer down and I'm going at it alone, which freaked me out because that was the ultimate way to burn the boat. But at that moment, it really forced us to be all in on this career move. And we never, ever looked back from that. And, you know, as we talk about it, we say, you know, it happened in a weird way, but we decided together that this is what we were going to go do. And there was really no plan B. I mean, it's exactly what we did. And then if you look at how the company and the organization and everything we've been able to do for the last 7 years, that was one of those pivotal moments. And, you know, I have patterned a lot of my life and career about that. I'm 24/7. I don't know how to do halfway. Ashley doesn't know how to do halfway. And we're young. This is the time to go make an impact. And I don't understand how to go through life any other way. And it has no bearing on how much, you know, money or financial resources or success you have. It's much more about, you know, what are you on earth to do? And do you care about your work? And, you know, this is what we're also trying to, you know, maybe teach some of the folks that work for us, or, you know, how can you find your own driving in the car moment where you've got to burn that boat and go all in? And I don't know, Ashley, what you...
I mean, we typically, our go-to decision-making move is, what is our end goal? What does our end goal look like? And we define that, we figure out that picture, and we get to a spot where we agree. And that's what helps us get all in. It's kind of back to the hope thing. It's something to hope for, a certain outcome. And then it's whatever we need to do to get there, right? I mean, we obviously live within the gospel of Jesus Christ guides us very strongly. But other than that, like, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be unfair, you know, in trying to support Ryan. If I know what our end goal is, if I'm sitting here at home, if we're playing a tally game or tit for tat or things have to be equal, I mean, that just doesn't work. So the idea is, what is our end goal and how do we get there? It's going to be uncomfortable. Are we both okay with that? Yeah, let's go all in. We're going to sacrifice. Sleep might go, health might go, balance might go for a minute, but we'll pull it all back together when we need to. And we know that because we know what the end goal is. And the end goal is always something we've agreed upon that we think is beautiful. And so it's easy to go all in when that's how you make decisions.
Yeah, that's really well said.
You both are just like spitting truth. So there are several things that I want to touch on in what you just said. First of all, mad props, Ashley. You may want to consider venture capital because you obviously know what to invest in. I'm like, shoot, like that's multiple times you made the right call. But I really think what you were just saying, Ashley, about how obviously we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's super helpful. And we know that we have the ability to receive personal revelation. But I think something that's really hard for people sometimes is this desire to be guided in all things. President Oakes talks about in a talk that I love about your strengths can become your weaknesses. And he says, you know, this desire to be led in all things can be a good thing, but can also be hard. And I love that you said you ask yourselves, what do you want the end goal to be? Because I think that there are times where we're going to seek that personal revelation, but then we have to use our brains and ask good questions and then go forward trusting in God, trusting that if we go all in and it's not the right path, He'll stop us. Do you guys have any thoughts about that?
Yeah. I mean, I debate a lot about, you know, the decision-making process of big decisions. And a lot of, and I'll just be honest, a lot of the decisions in my life that are massive, I mean, we had a whopping, I had to make a decision to sell our company last year in about a 90-minute process on a Sunday, right? That's about the time we had, and it was probably less than that. You know, I think everyone has their own different philosophy on decision-making. So I've had to ask myself a lot over the last couple of years is like, does God care about all my decisions?
When I think about, we're on a path to become a disciple of Christ, like that's what we're doing. And we are trying our best. And we obviously are goal-oriented in terms of business. And we like to take opportunities we can to be a disciple of Christ within that. But in the end, I don't love asking Heavenly Father for help with things that maybe don't affect whether or not I'm a disciple of Christ. So I don't know what He's doing, but I think He's like, do what you want, but are you still on the path to be a disciple? And that's kind of how I look at that.
Yeah, mine's a little different. I think, and Ashley and I are mostly aligned on how we think about stuff. As Ashley said, like we have this fundamental goal of what we want to become, and I think there's probably a lot of different ways to get there, and there's actually some ways that maybe we're headed down that are perfectly okay, but probably aren't for us because there might be something behind that door that we don't know. And it's not a bad thing. There might be something behind that door that could take us in a path that we can't get out of. And there's been enough experiences in my life recently, even in business, where things that I kind of wanted and I thought I wanted didn't happen and they just weren't fitting right. Or things that we were on a path to go down, which are totally acceptable and awesome things, something else came that never happens and never pops up, right in front. And I could just see myself going back and saying, hey, you know, how did we end up in this unintentional spot that impacted our family and our broader goal? And looking back over the tape and being like, well, there was that other path that was put in front of you. And I think that what we've tried to do is just make those decisions wisely as much as we can. And just once we make them, even those, you still got to go do all the work and turn those decisions into good experiences. You know, just like when we turned down the offer early on to sell the business, it could have easily turned into a bad decision, but you still have to go make that happen. And, you know, I think, you know, for me, there's a lot of confidence that if you're trying to feel something every day, if you're trying to feel in tune, if you know where you're going, then those split seconds decisions, you have a much higher accuracy to get in a better spot. You know, a friend just told me, you know, pain happens to everyone, but the kind I hate the most is the self-inflicted kind. Mm. And if I could just avoid a little more self-inflicted pain than the next person, then the gospel is worth it. Because for me, it's I've lived without it, and man, there was a lot of self-inflicted pain. And I feel that when I am in tune and I am with it, whether it's there or not, I'm either surpassing it, I'm either not seeing it, or there's just a little bit less of it. And that makes it all worth it for me and my family.
Yeah, I really appreciate both of your thoughts on that. And I think that both ways of thinking are like you said, they really are aligned and they're valuable. I want to come back really quickly to something, Ryan, that you said earlier. You mentioned that you both in your work capacities have the opportunity to work with a lot of young people, and that a strength of young people is not necessarily going all in. And I guess it would be a weakness in that case. But I'm curious for you both in working with young people, how do you encourage them to go all in?
Well, first of all, like leading by example is the ultimate way to teach anything. And so, I mean, all of my students know how much passion and how much I give to them and to the dance studio and their education and their self-worth. And they see me go all in because that's just all I'm willing to do. I'm not willing to do kind of a good job, right? So being able to witness it, I think, is the most effective. But I mean, also addressing, you know, life is messy. Things will get messy. And having end goals, teaching how to set end goals and knowing that you teaching how to get there no matter what. I mean, those are just kind of like my main ways maybe that I would try and empower youth with that.
Yeah, I really think by just being who you are and living how you're going to live. I mean, we were in the middle of our IPO roadshow or getting ready to go public as a company. There probably couldn't have been a more stress. We have five kids and life was just, I mean, it was probably one of the hardest years of our life. And we get a call, hey, will you guys go down to BYU and help serve in a bishopric and do this? And I was like, I came home to Ash and I was like, there's no way. Like, isn't there someone else or isn't there another time? And then it was really quickly that we went back to, hey, what are we trying to do here? Like what's our end goal? And the end goal that we had set out actually fit more into that plan than it probably did. And if there was ever a time to go serve, it was probably now. And, you know, I remember going into my admin at the time and being like, okay, I'm going to have to be here on Sundays. And like, we're looking through the schedule the last 2 years. And, you know, we were always somewhere on Sundays in a church and doing things, but we were everywhere. And it was amazing, you know, that first year, I think I missed probably two or three Sundays in the whole year. And most of them were for golf or something else, right? It didn't have anything to do with work. And so if you actually find a way to prioritize, that was just such a strong evidence that, hey, we control our lives and we can actually impact when we want to go all in on something. It's amazing how the world can go around and we'll find a way. And that was a good example, I think. And it was a reminder that we had decided beforehand. And the purpose of that is, and Ashley does such a great job at this, like, we need to be intentional. I don't want to wake up in life in a different spot than where I wanted or intended to end up and being like, man, how'd I get here? I've been there before, and it's a slippery road. And part of the problem is what makes us really good as humans right now can also make us really, really end up in different spots. And so I don't bring the same wrench or toolkit to the business world that I bring to my faith.
Well, and arguably Satan could zero in on us wanting to be all in a business sense. And, you know, that decision to be in a bishopric, we very easily could have been like, well, we're all in on the company right now. And so right now is not the time. And that would be Satan, like, masterfully using our own all-inness against us.
My own twisted head, right? Like I don't need Satan for that reaction. But like, it's just me being human. In reality is like, it's the ability to decipher in that moment, as Ashley was saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, the funny thing that we're finding is there's never really a good time. And so if you're not going to make it, like, then it's going to be tough. That was a long answer to your question.
No, that was perfect. And it made me think, you know, talking about balance, Scott O'Neill, who I think you all know, he said that he knew you guys.
Yeah, I love Scotty.
One of my favorite people. And he, when we asked him, like, we asked him about balance when he was on the show, and he was like, yeah, no, my life is not really in balance. And I think that's the thing is, like, you really, it's a matter of determining the priority in any given situation. And like you said, it's so easy. It would be so easy if you're an all-in type of person, it can be really easy to focus that all-inness in a different way. I want to talk a little bit before we get to the end about your family. So obviously you have faith responsibilities, work responsibilities, and then you're also raising a family, which we know is so important in our Heavenly Father's plan. I wondered, Ryan, what you've learned, and I love that you already touched on something that Ashley has taught you about being intentional, but what you've learned from Ashley as a wife and mother about being all in, and then Ashley, what you've learned from Ryan about being all in.
Yeah, with regards to family?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so look, I mean, our upbringing for both of us has definitely impacted how we think about family. And Ashley, she sacrifices a lot to be married to someone like me who I go. And in turn, I think it's helped me, and I'm a slower learner than and a slower giver than she is, want to actually do the same for her. You know, I remember when she started the dance studio earlier on, it was in our basement, and I was like, so I'm doing a startup, and now I come home and I can't pull into the driveway because I got all these Suburbans of moms picking up their kids. Like, no, I'm doing the hardest thing in the world. And then I come home and I've got 3-year-olds in my driveway, and I can never get in. I was like, no, this isn't how it's supposed to go. And it was a real confrontational moment in our marriage, like early on, because I hated the dance studio. And as my world got a little crazier and the dance studio became crazier, I grew to love it. And I loved it because Ashley had her own identity, her own role that was more than just, hey, I'm part of the Ryan show and I'm going to be around the 3-year-olds and the 5-year-olds all day long at home. I actually am building something and I'm going through. And for us, it's been one of the most amazing things there. And we both had to learn how to give. And so Ashley, when it comes to family, first of all, she's intentional. So there's nothing that's more important than that. And she's really good at helping us see like, okay, where are we headed and what needs to change, even if it's the hard things. And so we talk about it. She's an absolute giver and I need a giver, right? Yeah. And she's, you know, definitely sacrificed some of her own and she understands that balance isn't like this perfectly balanced airplane where the wings are just perfectly flying in the air. And she understands that one wing's going to be down at all times. You know, if we're sick or we're unhealthy at home, like that wing's down. If I've got something on my work or if she's got her dance show, that wing's going to be down. But balance is how we look at it. And she said, you know, she doesn't keep score. How we look at it maybe over a 3-month period and say, hey, did we get everything done? Or are there parts of our life that aren't balanced right now? But let's not look at it on a day-by-day or a week-by-week basis. Let's look at it a little further out. Because if we're always course correcting every day, then we're probably not going to get anything done in any way because we've kind of got to go deep on stuff and aspects of our lives to do it. So I'm just grateful that we've kind of grown up this way together because I think it's something we've had to do. And that doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's not tough. It doesn't mean that marriage is like perfect. We're pretty real, like, and we try to be.
Yeah. I mean, I like that question. I like hearing him say all those nice things about me. But we are very lucky in that we have a lot to teach each other. And he is one who makes a decision and doesn't look back. So all in is very much in Ryan's blood. And I don't know that I'm naturally that way. I've grown to be that way and I've grown to love being that way, but I maybe used to tiptoe into decisions, but Ryan makes a decision. There's no wavering. There's no looking back. There's no regret. There's no what might have been. And he knows that no matter what happens, things will get messy and hard and uphill battles will come. And he kind of takes those with almost excitement. And I don't want to be the dead weight in that scenario, right? And so it motivates me to want to be all in as well and to not want to look back and not want to regret and have the goal in sight. And it helps keep it clear. I mean, it's clear when you make a decision and you don't look back again, your goal stays really clear ahead of you. And I just learned that from Ryan and I'm really grateful for that. I picked well.
You did. Investing in the boy with the business in the basement turned out to not be a bad investment. I think what both of you said is so good. And one thing that I really liked that both of you touched on is this idea of not keeping score and not viewing it as like, you know, I gave this and you gave this and, you know, where does that shake out? And I think that that is something that a lot of people struggle with. And so I loved your thoughts on that. Thank you so much for sharing those. Ryan, you said at BYU in regard to faith, you said it's not cool to be all in, but I can promise you this, nothing will bring you more happiness than to be all in on your faith. Your faith is way too important to outsource to something someone else says. What does it mean to each of you to be all in the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, I'll go first with that. Look, I said that because there was a quote there that said, we also live in a day where doubt and cynicism is popular, in vogue. And I get that. I was recently at Harvard with a group of students and, you know, the muscle that we were attacking business problems with was one of doubt and cynicism and how to be skeptical. And it's really easy
to question everything in that business environment. And that's actually how you come up with a formula to make great decisions. The problem is it's the worst way to come up with the formula to make decisions on your faith. And that doesn't mean questioning, but like faith is something, and going all in, it's something you've got to do. And it's different for every single person. So for me, we've learned on this podcast, nothing I've ever done has ever been great if I haven't gone all in. And, you know, I think that for me and everything I've seen, and I mean, it's really clear. I mean, we had a phenomenal success in the eyes of the business world. And I'll be honest with you, the day that we closed our deal and checks cashed and everything was there, it's probably one of the most underwhelming days of my life from a success standpoint. I'm just going to be super transparent with that. So if that's super underwhelming, and I know that joy comes from serving, and I found it in the gospel, and I haven't had it at all outside, are there things that I question or things that I don't like? Are there people inside the church that I always say the 50 greatest people I know are members of the church that I want my kids to be like, but I'll turn around right after and say, in the 50 I don't want my kids to be anything like, they're also in that same church, right? And that's true, but that happens everywhere. And you know, so much of my world is outside the gospel and the church with the people I associate with. And they love what we have. They love the discussions we have about the purpose. And for me, the more I dig in, the more I go in, the more I put in, the more I try to feel, the more I feel and the more I'm guided and the more confidence I have. You know, just even recently with this last general conference, I haven't wanted to listen to a general conference that bad since, you know, September of 9/11 happened, and conference was just a couple weeks later, and I was glued to the TV. During this pandemic, it's interesting, you know, this happens in March, you know, and here we are with another conference. And I was like, whoa, in hearing our prophet talk, I don't care who you are. There was a confidence and a level of purpose that came out of that I haven't gotten anywhere else. And I listen, watch the media. And for me, that's what I get every day when I go all in. And I'm either fortunate or unfortunate enough to know of a long history of my life without that, where I don't get that. And I just have a strong testimony of both having it and not having it. And everything good I have in my life has come from the decision, including Ashley, including my kids, including everything that really matters has come from having it. And, you know, that's my thought. And that's how I feel about going all in. And I just encourage people that if they're struggling or they got a lot of questions, they can't get over stuff, just go all in. And I think you'll figure it out. Yeah. And I'll tell you, the pros definitely outweigh the cons in my mind. And I found happiness through that way. And I've probably experienced recently a lot of what other people would think would be happiness. And I'm just telling you, it's not at all. It's super underwhelming.
Thank you so much, Ashley.
I mean, similarly, yeah, I like happiness to me is the feeling that the gospel brings me. And I learned that. I learned the feeling that I didn't want to feel, and I learned where I could turn. And I found hope there. And to me, being all in is finding hope. So you've got to first get your foot in the door and find hope for something. So know what our gospel is about. I mean, if you know that, you have hope, right? And then being willing to intentionally wrestle with all of it until you are in a place where you know that happiness comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's awesome because we have our whole lives to wrestle and intentionally find out what that happiness is for each of us. But being all in is being dedicated to that process, being dedicated to maintaining hope and to be willing to fight for it and keep fighting for it and having patience and having work ethic and hanging in there when it gets uncomfortable and even maybe unnatural sometimes, but keep fighting for that hope and for the happiness that comes with the gospel.
Beautiful. Thank you both so much. You shared so many thoughts that I had never considered before, and I think that they will be so valuable to the people that will listen to this episode. So thank you both so much for your time and for your thoughts.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
We are so appreciative to Ashley and Ryan Smith for coming on today's show. Be sure to check out our show notes for a link to Ryan's address at the BYU Marriott School, as well as other quotes from this week's episode. Thank you, as always, to Derek Campbell from Mix at Six Studios for his great work, and a big thanks to all of you for listening. We couldn't do this without your willingness to help us spread the word, and we really love you for it. Until next week, please stay safe and stay healthy.